Our Torah will say, good morning, good morning. I'm sorry that I can't be there with you in person. But Baruch Hashem, and at least it is a great schos to be able to learn with everyone together virtually. Sorry, just adjusting the camera here a little bit. Hopefully, I think this is centered. All right, so we'll say, so today's daf is Yud Beis 12, and we are picking up Emeret Hashem on Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b. And we are picking up, Rav Simon, Rav Papa. So it is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So just reorient ourselves a little bit. So if you remember again, yesterday's daf, we're speaking about the concept. We started yesterday with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is speaking about them standing by my field. And ultimately, again, I see that there is a crippled deer or pigeons that can't fly and they're walking through. And I want my chotzer to acquire. I want my chatzar to acquire that on my behalf. So the halacha is, the Mishnah says that it works. It works, even though Reuven and Shimon are running after it. If I want my chatzar to acquire it, it works. Now, remember again, the Gemara has quoted the opinion of Rav Yehuda named Shmuel that it's only omed al gabo. It's only if you're standing next to your chatzar that makes it mishtameres, that makes it secure, and then it could go ahead and acquire. What we saw at the end of yesterday's daf was the position of Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said, but that's only true if you're acquiring an object from Hefker. But if for argument's sake somebody's being maknes, someone's conveying ownership to you, then halacha lemaisa your chatzar has the ability to acquire an item on your behalf, even if you are not physically present. The way we explained this was that when you're acquiring it from Hefker, there's no force pushing it into your rishus. As such, you need to be present by your chatz in order to make your chatz secure. When somebody's conveying something to you, you're there. There's a force. In other words, you're acquiring, even if you're not physically present, and there's someone else pushing that object into your domain. So Rav Papa wants to suggest that perhaps when someone is conveying ownership of something to you, you don't have to be physically present by your chatzar in order for your chatzar to acquire it in your bath. Just to come full circle, this would also explain how Rabbi Gamliel was able to go ahead and convey different tithing portions to different rabbanim through kinyan chatzar, even though obviously these rabbanim were not standing by their particular chatzar or by the chatzar that he conveyed to them. Okay, so the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, So what about get? Right, husband, right, Reuven wants to divorce his wife Rachel, and he wants to put a get into her chatzar. So what's the halacha? So here you have das acheres, right? The husband is pushing something into her rishos, right? In other words, he's conveying a get to her. So what's the halacha? Va'amra ula, v'hu sha'omedes b'tzad beisa b'tzad chazera. Yet Ula said it only works if Rachel is standing by her home or by the chatzar. In other words, she has to be physically present. So that doesn't seem to work with what Rav Papa just said before. Shaini get the isei b'akarcha. A get is different. A get is a totally different set of circumstances. Why? Because the whole process of get in general is one that could happen against the will of the woman. I ask the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, Maskevel of Sheshes Beit Ravidi, Velav Kavachomer, Shvi Kavachomer. Uma get the Isi Bakarcha. So of get, which can be done against her will, I omedes betzad beisa, ubetzad chatzere in, I lo lo. So if something, get by itself, doesn't require the das of the woman, yet again, in order for her chatzar to acquire it, she has to be present, then Gemara says, Matana demidaite, l'kol shekein. Then obviously Matana, which again, we'll say, you can't force someone to be makabel a Matana. Right? If I want to convey a gift to someone, they have to agree to it. So the Gemara asks Rav Sheshes, the argument doesn't make any sense. If get, which works bal karcha, yet the chatzar could only acquire if the isha is present, then alachas kama v'kama, something which can be done against the will of the recipient, of course the recipient has to be present. Ela amravashi, Ravashi says, you're right, top of your base, we'll say 12a. Ela Ravashi, chatzar is rabbi mishum yad v'lagor mishlichos. Well, this is interesting, actually very interesting. In general, chatzar is an extension of yad, right? Chatzar is an extension of one's hand. But yet, it's no weaker than shlichos. So my chatzar is considered to be an extension of my yad, but just conceptually, it's no less than agency. Therefore, gabe get the chov hula. So by a get, ultimately, which is considered to be objectively detrimental, because halacha l'maaseh, when a woman gets divorced, she loses support, and she loses a number of financial entitlements, and therefore, again, just from a purely, like, technical, legal perspective, it's considered to be detrimental. Therefore, in chavan la'adam el bafanov, in general, you can't do something detrimental for someone without their consent or without their knowledge. So therefore, again, watch this. So therefore, when Reuven wants to throw the get into Rachel's chatzar, so remember again, chatzar is going to be an extension of yad, extension of hand, but it's no less than shlichos. So just like by shlichos, you can't set up a shliach for someone if it's detrimental. So to get requires her das if it's going to go into her chatzar. On the other hand, gabi matana, dischus hulo, but again, by a gift, which is an objective benefit, zachin la'adam shelo befanav. In general, you're allowed to do something beneficial for someone even without their knowledge. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, the receiving of a gift is something beneficial. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, it could very well be that going back kind of full circle to what our papa said, that my chatzar could acquire something even if I'm not physically present, as long as that thing that the chatzar is acquiring is of objective benefit to me. Incredible. So Gufa, let's analyze. Ra osan ratzin achar hametzia. So remember again, we'll say, what did we saw before? We saw again, this Mishnah. I see, I'm standing by the side of my field and I see Reuven and Shimon running after the crippled deer or the pigeons that can't fly. But the halacha is, so Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yochanan say, I could acquire it, as long as technically speaking, I could run after these items and technically catch them. So what about Rabbi Yirmiyah? What about by matana? So this is by matzia. What would happen if this case happened by a matana, by a gift? So the Gemara says, "Kibbutz Minei Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Afa Pi Sheratz Achareyan Ve'Ein Magion." So Rabbi Bar Kahana said that by a gift, even if I couldn't catch up with them, right, I would still get it. And this goes back to the distinction we made between a matzia and the matana. A matzia, where there's nothing pushing it into my rishus, I have to have the ability to acquire it on my own. A matana, where there's another force, right? There's another person pushing this into my rishos. There's much less activity required on my part in order to go ahead and assume ownership over the object. Incredible. So kind of like a follow-up on this, Bai Rava, Zorak Arniki bePesach Zeh, V'yotza Pesach Acher Mahu. Interesting case. Let's say Reuven goes ahead and throws a money bag. And he's throwing it, and it goes, let's say again, the front door and the back door of my house are open. And he throws the money bag, and it goes through the front door and out the back door, never having come to rest inside my home. So Mahu, what is the halacha? Do we say, Aver Shein Sof Alenuach Kimunach Dami? Do we say that since the money bag went through the airspace of my domain, even though it didn't come to rest, it's as if it came to rest? Oh, no, or maybe not. No, the halacha is, if it comes to rest, that's one thing, but this didn't come to rest, and therefore there's nothing to talk about. Is this not our Mishnah? What did the Mishnah say? Ra osan ratzin achar hametzia. Right, I'm standing, all roads lead back to the Mishnah. Right, I'm going ahead, I see Reuven and Shimon running after the crippled deer or the pigeons that can't fly in my rishos. Right, so what happens? Va'amar, so what's the halacha? Va'amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu sheratz achareinu magian. And Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yochanan said that again, I could acquire it as long as technically speaking, I could also catch up and go ahead and capture them myself. So the Gemara says, Obar Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, b'matana heich, that's true with a metzia, with an object that's hefker. What about if it was a matana? V'kibla minei Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana matana, afa pi sheratz acharein ve'ein magian. And we said, by matana, the halacha is, I don't have to run after it and catch up with it, because like we said before, by matana, there's something pushing that object into my domain, and even if I can't catch up with it, halacha l'maaseh, I still acquire it. So the Gemara wants to suggest that it would be the same thing. So therefore, if Reuven is throwing a money bag, and let's say he wants me to acquire the money bag, but the money bag goes in my front door, goes out my back door, because there's a das acheres, there's another force that's pushing the object into my domain, I should acquire it by dint of the airspace. To which he said, no. Amrle miskalgel ka'amrit, shiny miskalgel de kamunachtami. It's not fair to compare the cases, I'll tell you why. In the Mishnah's case, of Osai, the deer and the birds are actually on the ground. they're on the ground, right? So they're moving, but they are on the ground. So the fact that they're tethered to the ground, by definition, allows me to acquire it in a much easier way, especially if it's being gifted to me. On the other hand, in the case of the money bag, like the case we just mentioned over here, it's never touching the ground. It's literally just sailing through. So because it's just sailing through, one can make the argument that halacha lemaisa, one would not acquire in that particular situation. So I will say, so the Gemara doesn't seem to really go ahead and paskin in that case. Doesn't seem to end up in a conclusion. But again, what I do want to mention is that we do adopt the positions of Rav Yehuda and of Rav Papa, that halacha lemaisa, in order for my chatzar to acquire an object of metzia, if it is not a secure chatzar, then I have to be omid betzida. In other words, my physical presence, my physical proximity goes ahead and creates the acquisitory power for the chatzar. If I'm not there, the chatzar cannot acquire it. On the other hand, we also adopt the position of Rav Papa, that's by a metzia. If halacha lemaisa, someone is conveying ownership of something to me, so now again, there's another force pushing it into my domain. So technically speaking, even if I'm not by the chatzar, my chatzar has the ability to acquire. So a difference in the acquisitory power of a chatzar when it's a metzia, something we'll call from hefker, versus when it's a conveyance. When it's a metzia, gotta be present because the chatzar has to be secure. When it's being conveyed, I don't have to be there because the chatzar has the ability to go ahead and acquire on my behalf, even if it's not secure, i.e. even if I'm not present. And then going full circle, that's why Rabbi Gamliel was in fact able to convey these tithes through Kinyan Chatzar because there was a conveyance that was being made. Incredible. Okay, I will say Mishnah. Mitzias bino ubito aktanim, mitzias avdo v'shivchaso aknanim. So interesting case over here. What do we do with something that my son finds, my son or my daughter, my minor children, right? Not minor children, that I love them less than my other children, talking about again, age-wise, right? So in other words, I have a katan son, a katan daughter, right? Or mitzias avdo v'shivchas ha-kananim, or that which my eved kanani or shivcha kananis find, or mitzias ishto, or if my wife finds something. In all of these cases, hare elu shalo, the objects belong to me. I acquire what these individuals acquire, okay? Mitzias bino bita gdolim, but however, again, if my adult children find something, or mitzias avdo v'shiv chaswa ivrim, or my Jewish servant or maid servant find something, then what's the halacha? Or mitzias ishto shegirsha, or if a man divorced his wife, and then his wife found something, afa pishlanas ksuva, so he divorced her, even though he didn't yet give her a ksuva. In all of these cases, hare elu shalohen. So the first category, my minor children, my eved kanani, my shivcha kananis, my wife, if they find something, it belongs to me. Case number two, my adult children, a wife who I divorced, but even if I didn't yet pay the ksuva, and an eved ivri or a shivcha ivri, an ama ivriya, they all own whatever it is that they find. Okay, so let's analyze. Amr Shmuel, mipnei ma amru mitzias katan la'aviv. Now, this is actually interesting. I'll say, so why is it that halacha lemaisa, when my minor son finds something, it belongs to me, the father? Why is it? Now, Rashi points out over here, mipnei ma amru mitzias katan la'aviv, bishlam abito v'ishto, taima mefarish lo b'mekomos ksuva ela b'no taima mai. So again, a daughter we understand, a wife we understand, Rashi points out, we learned that out from other sources. But why is it that for my minor son, when he acquires something, I acquire it? Why is that? So the Gemara says, so Shmuel gives an interesting interpretation. He says, Shebishah shemotzia meritza etzel ave ve'eno ma'achar biyado. Because the nature of a son is that when he finds something, he immediately brings it to his father to show it to his father. So Rashi says, Hilchach kishemak biya letzarech avifig biya. It's almost as if, like, instinctively, when the son finds something, he brings it to his father, to show it to his father. So in essence, he's acquiring it on behalf of his father. It's actually such a, if you think about it, just on such a beautiful level, that really on a deeper level, what it's saying is, what does a son want to do more than anything? Son just wants to give nachas to his father. Right? Oh, what a son wants more than anything is, I just want to know that my father is proud of me. And we could relate to this. We could relate to this as sons. We could relate to this as fathers. But the truth is, ultimately, we relate to this because Bonim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, the Ribono Shel Olam is our father. And the truth is, what do I want more than anything for my father? What do I want? I just want to know that he's proud of me. That's it. So like, I find something, I do something, I bring it to my father. So the katan finds something, he brings it to his father. So it's as if he's acquiring on behalf of his father himself. Such a beautiful idea. So the Gemara says, the Memra, so it appeared that really what Shmuel was saying is that a katan doesn't really have the ability to acquire something on his own midaraisa. From a biblical perspective, a katan does not acquire something. Whatever the katan acquires automatically goes to his father. Is that true? Vatanyo. So it's an interesting case here. Let's say I have a field. I hire a worker to take care of the field. So let's say again, the worker himself is an ani. Worker himself is poor. So what could happen? So this worker could bring his son to work, and whatever the worker drops, you know, leke, chichacha, things like that, the son could pick up right after his father. Okay, yet lemechzu shlishalurvia lo yilaki bino acharav. But however, if I hire a worker and I don't pay him a wage, but I pay him a percentage of the field, in that case, again, he's a partial owner. As an owner, he's no longer an ani, and because he's no longer an ani, he can't bring his kid to work to collect the leket and the shichacha after he's done. It's quite beautiful. Look at Rashi. Yilaki bino no acharav. Okay, so that's the locha. So you hire a worker, a laborer, and he's poor. If he's getting paid like a wage as a laborer, he could bring his kid to work, and his kid could collect the leket and the shechacha he leaves behind. He's getting a percentage of the field. He's no longer poor. Now he's halachically, so to speak, an usher, can't bring his kid to work. Rabbi Yossi says, Benkach ubenkach yilakit benovi ishto achara. Rabbi Yossi says, not true. Halacha l'maisa, either way, his son or his wife could go ahead and collect after him. Okay, so interesting. So what's the logic there? Well, the logic of Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying is because the katan, the son, has the ability to collect on his own. In other words, or to acquire on his own. See, even if the father now is an usher because the father is getting a percentage of the field, the kid has the ability to collect for himself. So Rabbi Yossi essentially is saying is that a katan has the ability to acquire on his own behalf. To which the Gemara says, "Amr Shmuel Allah Rabbi Yossi," and Shmuel said, "Allah Rabbi Yossi." Now, when Shmuel says Allah Rabbi Yossi, what that means is Shmuel says that a katan has the ability to acquire in his behalf. Yeah, we'll say, what did we just say? What did we just say? We just said before the Mishnah said that when a katan finds something, that it belongs to the father. Why? Shmuel says, because essentially a katan doesn't acquire in his behalf. Whatever the katan acquires, he acquires on behalf of his father. So a contradiction. So if you hold that a katan has the ability to acquire on his own for himself, ultimately, again, when he follows after his father, so he's acquiring for himself, and then the father could technically afterwards acquire from his son. But if a katan doesn't have the ability to acquire on his own behalf, then ultimately, again, ki kamalakeit la'aviv kamalakeit, when he gathers, he's gathering for his father. But in the second case, where the father is getting a percentage of the field, avua ashiru, the father is quote-unquote rich. Why should he be entitled to the leket and the shechacha? Amai ishto ubeno malakeit acharov. Why ultimately, again, would there be a right for the worker to have his son or his wife collect after him? So here the shayla. So just to follow the progression, right? The Mishnah said that if a katan finds an object that goes to his father, Shmuel said, why? What do you see from Shmuel? That midaraisa, a katan doesn't acquire on his own behalf. And therefore, again, whatever he finds goes to the father. Fine. The Mishnah says, here's the problem. The problem is that what happens if you hire a worker who's an ani? So again, could the worker go? So I hire workers only to work in my field. So if he's getting paid just a wage, then he could bring his kid to work because he's an ani, and his kid could collect the leket and the shichcha as he's working. If, however, he gets a percentage of the field, he can't bring his kid to work to go out and collect after him because the father is an usher, therefore not entitled. Rabbi Yossi says, either way, you could bring your kid to work, even if you're getting a percentage. Why? The logic is because the katan has the ability to acquire on his own behalf. And Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So now we have a contradiction. Here Shmuel is saying that the halacha is that a katan does have the ability to acquire on his own behalf. And yet, again, in the Mishnah, Shmuel is interpreting the statement of the Mishnah to mean that a katan does not have the ability to acquire on his own behalf, and that's why whatever he finds goes to the father. Contradiction. To which the Gemara says, no. Shmuel, taima ditana didan ka'amrle valelo svirle. The truth is, Shmuel was not actually espousing his own opinion when it came to our Mishnah. Shmuel was explaining the opinion of the Tana of our Mishnah. The Tana of our Mishnah holds that a katan doesn't have the ability to acquire on his own behalf. Shmuel himself does not hold that way. Shmuel holds, like we just saw, like Rabbi Yossi, that a katan does have the ability to acquire on his own behalf. Incredible. So the Gemara says, "V'sav Rabbi Yossi katan is leitzchim midaraisa." So does Rabbi Yossi really hold that a katan has the ability to acquire something for himself midaraisa? Vatnan we learned, "Mitzias cheresh shote v'katan yesh pahen mishum gezel mipnei darki shalom." Interesting that ultimately if a cheresh shote v'katan, right, a deaf mute, a deranged person, right, or a katan, if they find something, so technically speaking, these people don't have the power of kinyan. So if a katan finds something and I grab it out of his hand, then ultimately, again, I didn't do anything. But yet, again, the Mishnah says that there is gezel mishum dakshin, which you saw us last week. Chazal said you can't take it. It's considered to be an act of theft. Why did Chazal do this? Chazal did this in order to preserve communal peace. Because we don't want it to be, you know, somebody takes something, a cheresh shote v'katan, finds something, and someone takes it from them. The cheresh shote v'katan are going to fight back. It's going to cause major machlokas. So in order to avoid that, Chazal said, when a cheresh shote v'katan finds something, it's theirs. It's theirs, and you cannot take it from them. Rabbi Yossi says, gezel gomer. Rabbi Yossi says, it's not just gezel medivrehem, it's really gezel gomer. It's real theft. Real theft. Vam Rav Chista, gezel gomer medivrehem. Rav Chista said, no. Rabbi Yossi meant to say, it's gezel medirabanan. But in other words, Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying, it's not just darkei shalom, it's really rabbinic theft. Really rabbinic theft. So the Gemara says, well, what's the difference between if it's theft because of darkei shalom or it's rabbinic theft? I'll tell you, nafkamina lotzia bidayonin. The nafkamina bosa in the Lach says, let's say katan finds an object. I go over to the katan, I take it from his hands. I take it from him. See, if it's because of darkei shalom that I can't steal from a katan, Beis Din's not going to adjudicate this case. They're not going to adjudicate it. But if it's gezel midrabanon, if it's rabbinic theft, then at the end of the day, Beis Din will adjudicate it. I will say, what's the point? Rabbi Yossi is saying that taking from a katan is only gezel midrabanon. In other words, as much as gezel midrabanon is stronger than gezel mipnei darkei shalom, but it's still only gezel midrabanon, it's rabbinic theft. Rabbi Yossi just said before that a katan has the ability to acquire on his own. Now it seems to be saying that a katan doesn't have the ability to acquire on his own, because if a katan had the ability to acquire, then after the katan picks up the object, if you take it from him, it should be complete theft. Not just gezel midrabanan. The fact that it's quote unquote only gezel midrabanan would seem to indicate that halacha lemaisa, that a katan doesn't acquire on his own behalf. So what's going on over here? Ela amrabaye asua kimi shahachu banemushos. So this is actually very interesting. So the Gemara wants to suggest the following: that halacha lemaisa. That take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Ela amrabaye. Rabbi Yossi nami ketana didan svirle, the katan less le zichia. Rabbi Yossi in reality actually holds like the ton of our Mishnah, that a katan doesn't have the ability to acquire something. Okay, so what's going on by leket? Right, so what's going on by the leket case? V'gabi leket hainu taim tam dechevan diyeshlo lepoil zeb banim v'isha aniyim atzmon miyashi malakit shelo. Lefichach asua kisa v'shal chabon mushos. That's not my emes. I called them mutar b'laket. Mishal chabon mushos. Lekute baser lekute. Demahi shaita maschanim datayimine. Varei masada. So listen to this. When in reality, what I'm suggesting is like this. Really, Rabbi Yossi holds just like the Tana of our Mishnah, namely that a katan does not have the ability to acquire something. Okay. So now let's take a step back. So why does Rabbi Yossi hold that in the case where I hire a worker, I give him a percentage of the field. So now he is a quote unquote usher. He's wealthy, right? He's no longer poor, no longer entitled to leket. Yet Rabbi Yossi says he's still allowed to bring his kid to the field to collect behind him any of the leket. What's the pshat? So the Gemara says like this. Essentially, when you have this type of arrangement, that, let me take a step back. The halacha is that, right, you leave leket, shichcha, and peah in the field. After a certain point in time, there's what's called mishehilchoban and mushos. The mushos were like the elderly paupers who would walk through the field very methodically, slowly methodically, picking up whatever that was there to be salvaged for leket, shichcha, and peah. Once the nemushos walk through, anything left in the field is pretty much hefker. It's pretty much hefker. So one wants to suggest that when you hire a worker and he brings his kid to collect the leket shichcha, because let's say the kid or the wife, they are poor, right? So that has the status of mishilchobon and mushos. Essentially, the field is essentially hefker. It's hefker. And therefore, again, whatever the kid picks up effectively is acquired als hefker. So the Gemara says, "V'anim gufayu masri datayu savri berei dehech malachtile." Because when people see that the worker is bringing his kid to the field, the other aniyim say, "You know what? It's not even worth it to try to go collect there, because again, Ruvain, the worker, brought his kid, and his kid is going to pick up whatever matnos aniyim, right? Whatever tithes for the poor are going to be available over there." So the Gemara says, "I don't understand. How is this permitted?" So I don't simply say, are you allowed to do this? Like, can you imagine for a moment, let's say I have a field and I decide, you know what? I don't want any aniyim coming to my field. So I have a great idea. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a lion in my field to go ahead and scare off the aniyim. So we'll say, you're not allowed to do that. So if I hire a worker, right, and the worker brings his kid to the field and all the other aniyim now know that they're not going to end up getting anything, so what's the pshat? How am I allowed to do that? So Rabbi said, this is actually very interesting. Ela Amarava Amadeis 12b. Ela Amarava Asu Sheina Zoche Kizoche. So Rabbi says, this is actually very interesting. Salocha Lamaisa. So look at Rashi. Asu Sheina Zoche Kizoche. Rashi says that listen to this. It's actually quite fascinating. If you take a look at the tab Rashi, so Rashi says over here, in general, right, we paskin that a katan cannot go ahead and acquire something, right? Because that's we're going all of this. And I'll say, interestingly enough, so here Chazal made a special takana. What's the takana? That they made a katan who can't normally acquire something like someone who can acquire something. Rashi says, "Afapi she'ein laktan zechia b'makom ha'shakana so kizocha my taima aniim gufayu nechaluhu ki heichid dechi agro ledido." Nilkot benayhu basrayhu. So Rabbi said, this is incredible. What the Gemara is essentially saying is, at this point, everyone is agreeing that halacha lemaisa katan doesn't have the ability to acquire something on his own behalf. So what's going on over here? When I hire a worker, right, the worker is able to bring his kid, and his kid is able to go ahead and collect the leket, the shichacha, all the stuff behind his father who is working. And according to Rabbi Yossi, even if the father is receiving a percentage of the field, so the father himself is not an ani, but the kids, what's the pshat? Chazal made a special allowance over here. Even though normally a katan can't acquire on his own behalf, here they made it that a katan can acquire. Right? Why? Because this is a special benefit to the aniyim. Why? Because this way, if you're an ani and you find a job, you know that in addition to the job, in addition to the wage that you're going to get for the job, you could bring your kid to work and your kid could collect the gleanings behind you. So there's a double benefit. There's the benefit that you accrue ultimately again through your wage, and then there's the benefit that you get also, Baruch Hashem, because your kid has the ability to glean behind you. And even though, again, normally a minor cannot acquire on his own behalf, a katan can't acquire on his own behalf, Chazal made a special allowance over here. It's incredible. So the Gemara says, this argues from Rabbi Abba. What does Rabbi Abba say? So in general, I'll say this actually argues on Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, because Rabbi Chiya bar Abba saying Rabbi Yochanan, gadol and katan don't mean adult and minor like they do in other cases, but rather what does gadol and katan mean in this context? So the Gemara says, "Ela gadol v'samach al shulchan aviv zel katan." Katan ve'enu samoch al shulchan aviv zehu gadol. So Rabbi says, it's just interesting. So a totally different interpretation. The other interpretation over here is that maybe when we speak about, in the case of the leket and the shechacha, about the ability of the katan, so to speak, to go ahead and collect behind his father, it's not talking about a minor. Rather, again, gadol and katan are not biologically descriptive, but rather, again, we'll call it their self-sufficiency descriptive. In other words, gadol is a child who is self-sufficient, supports himself. A katan is a child who is reliant. So you could have a katan who is a biological gadol. And therefore, we'll say, if you go with that approach, then the whole issue over here is obviated, right? Because then we're not even talking about the ability of an actual biological katan to be able to go ahead and acquire something. Because again, we're only talking about adult children. The only shaila is it an adult child that could support himself, in which he is a gadol, or is it an adult child who can't support himself, in which case he is a katan? So creating katan, let's say, also tremendous Mr. Haskell. You see from here that sometimes a person could be a gadol but still be a katan. You know, we say by bris milah, zeh katan gadol yihya. And if you go with this approach, right, what's the bracha that we're giving our child? What, then now he's little, he'll be big? That kind of happens on its own. But rather, according to this gemara, the difference between a katan and a gadol is a katan is someone who is dependent and a gadol is someone who is self-sufficient. Perhaps the bracha that we give to our children is zeh katan. Right now, little baby, you are 100% dependent. Gadol yihya. The biggest bracha in life is to be self-sufficient. The biggest bracha in life is to be independent. The biggest bracha in life is soni mataros yihya, not to have to be reliant on other people. We're always reliant on the ribono shel olam. But at the end of the day, that's what I want more than anything. Because Chazal tell us, there are people who are gedolim, but they're still ketanim. I could be a gadol, but still a katan. I am old, but if I'm dependent, and I will say, dependent doesn't just mean financially. You know, sometimes, you know, I will say, people go through life, and even in the realm of accomplishment, you know, they're always waiting for everyone else to do something, right? My parents need to do this, and my spouse needs to do this, and my kid needs to do this. And like, the buck of my life stops with everyone but me. I'm an adult, but I'm acting like a katan, because I'm making my success dependent on everyone else. The goal is to be a gadol who is a gadol. Someone who is not only physically mature, right? Physically older, but also again, a gadol in that I'm self-sufficient. The buck of my life stops with me. Whatever I want to happen, I'm not outsourcing my success to anyone. I am a gadol who is a gadol. And whatever I do in life, I'm going to avoid being a gadol who relegates himself to the status of a katan. Okay, so I'll say, but bottom line for our purposes over here, it's important to understand that halach lamaisa, what we do come out with is this concept that a katan does not acquire. So it really, like when we kind of like come full circle, what it sounds like is happening over here is that everyone is pretty much in agreement that halach lamaisa, a katan does not acquire on his own behalf. Right? Now, whatever a katan acquires pretty much automatically goes to the father. Special carve-out exception when it comes to this case of the ani and leket. Okay, let's go back there. Says the Gemara, Mitzias avdo v'shivchasa evrim harein shal atzman. So again, if the Eved Ivri, or Amivri, a Jewish servant, or Jewish maidservant, find an object that belongs to themselves. The Gemara says, Amai lo yehe elapoel. Why should this be so? There should be no different than a worker. So it's interesting, halacha v'tanya, mitzias poel liatzmo. Let's say I have a worker, someone working for me, and the worker finds something, he gets to keep that which he found. So the Gemara says, however, when is this so? Bizman sha'amar lo nochish imi hayom, other imi hayom. When I hired him for a task. So for example, you know, do me a favor, weed the garden, plow the field. So if he finds something over the course of that day, it belongs to him. Aval amar lo asei imi malach hayom. But let's say I hire someone for the day. I say to Ruvain, I'm hiring you. You're my laborer for the day, which means whatever I want to use him for that day. Then what's the halacha? Mitzias al balabayis. If he finds something that day, it belongs to me. It belongs to the balabayis. So we'll say, so bepashtos, an eved should be no different, an eved ivri should be no different than a laborer that I hire for the day. So just like if I hire the laborer for the day, whatever he finds belongs to me. So the eved ivri, whatever he finds, should also belong to me. This is interesting. What's the Eved? This is no ordinary Eved. This is an Eved Avosei is like a fine jeweler. Noki Margolius literally means like he like literally like pierces holes in fine stones, in fine jewels. She'in Rabo wrote to Lishnosa Lemelecha Acheres that ultimately, again, I don't want him. I don't want him to do a different kind of work. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, She'in Rabo wrote to Lishnosa Hilchach Lo Nechale Shiag Bia Lo Metzia De Metzia Mu'ula B'dameh Mischar B'to Malach Dolo Shricha Hilchach Yisrami V'ashkach Shalohu B'shan Rab Mischar B'tulo. So we'll say in this kind of case, when I have my worker, when I have my Eved, who is such a specialized craftsman, I don't want him getting distracted with anything else. Therefore, if he does, he kind of owes me back schar bittel, the amount of time that he wasted on the metzia, right? But lamaisa, the metzia itself, the lost object, actually belongs to him. Okay, Rav Amarava says, no, what's the case? B'magbia metzia imalachtu askinan. The other case also was trying to figure out cases of where the Eved Ivri, if he finds something, is able to keep it. Another possibility could be that halacha lamaisa, he picks up something in the normal course of his work. You see, we're kind of looking at picking up the lost object as something that interferes with his work. But let's say in the course of his work, he lifts up the object. Or that's Rava. Or a Papa Amar Kigon Shesachro Lelakit Mitzios. Or a Papa says, no, I hire the Eved Ivri to go out and find lost objects. That's his job. Walk around, and see kind of what's lying on the ground. Okay? Ve'echi dami, what's the case over there? The akfi agma bekavri. Rashi says over here, she'tzaf hanachos ligdosav v'tzaf adagim. For example, in a case where the river overflows, sometimes when the river overflows the banks, when the waters recede back, there's a whole bunch of fish. So I hired the Eved to go and collect the fish. So in that kind of situation, halach l'maisa, if there's something else other than the fish, another metzia, and he picks it up, halach l'maisa belongs to him. It's not a distraction from the work. It's what he was doing already anyway. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Hai shivcha hechi dami. So we'll say, what's the case of the shivcha? Right, what's the case of the shivcha? Good. What is the case of the shivcha? Okay, fine. There's a lot more to say over here, but we'll leave it. Fine. Sai shivcha, what's the case of the Hebrew maidservant? So the Gemara says, Ida isi shte saros my boy gabe. If she brought two hairs, signs of physical maturity, she goes free. Vidlo isi shte saros, and if she did not bring two hairs, I isi la'av davu havya, whatever she finds ultimately again is going to belong to her father. And if there's no father, then she should go out for the death of her father. Reish Lakish said that an Amo Ivriya acquires herself from servitude that her father sold her into when her father dies. So if there's a father, the mitzvah should go to the father. And if there's no father because he died, then she should go free. Based on the Kavach Omer. The Gemara says, by the way, we refuted Reish Lakish. Sometimes it was Reish Lakish advances the Kavach Omer. We're not going to get into the Kavach Omer. But Reish Lakish advances the Kavach Omer. But the Gemara says, by the way, we refuted that Kavach Omer. So the Gemara says, maybe this case is also the fact that she gets to keep her Metziah would also seem to indicate that it's also a refutation of Reish Lakish's position. To which the Gemara says, no, lo the olam de isi la'av. We're dealing with the case of where the father is alive. What does it mean when it says that if the Ama Ivriya finds a lost object, finds a Metzia, that it belongs to her? What it means is Lafuke Deraba. What it means is, we'll say, it comes to exclude the master. What it means is that if the Ama Ivriya finds something, it belongs to her, Shalohen, doesn't literally mean to her. It actually goes to her father. So why does it say it belongs to her? It belongs to her ultimately, again, to exclude the fact that it doesn't go to the master. All right, beautiful. But we'll say last part of the sugyo, mitzias ishto. So most remember again, there's an interesting last case. What was the last case? Halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, right? Reuven is married to Rachel. Reuven divorced Rachel. But he gave her a get, but didn't pay her ksuva. So what's the halacha? If she finds something, she gets to keep it. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So the Gemara says, girsha pshita. So obviously, again, if Reuven divorced his wife, then of course, halacha lemaisa, if she finds something, she keeps it. Of course, it doesn't go to Reuven. Hachamai askinan, what's the case over here? B'migureshes ve'ena migureshes. The case of Rabosei is, it was a suffolk gerushin. He divorced her, but there was a suffolk whether or not, ultimately, again, the gerushin was good. The paradigmatic example of this is Reuven threw her a get, back to our Gittin days, Safek Karov La, Safek Karov Lo. It was a Safek. Did the get land closer to him, closer to her? It's a Safek Migureshes. The halacha is you have to give another get. So in this kind of case, Dam Rabbi Zeir, Amr Shmuel, Kol Makom Shamru Chacham Migureshes, Vein Migureshes, Ba'al Lochaim Mizonosel. So let's listen to this. The halacha is, in any case of Safek Girish, and we're not sure if she's divorced or not divorced, the halacha is that the husband is obligated to still support her. So the Gemara says, time. So okay, so there's support. Now watch this. Time of my Amr Abana Mitzias Ishla Baila. Now, in general, when a woman finds something, right, why is it that the object that she finds belongs to her husband? Why is that? So the Gemara says, Mishom ki echidol tahavela eva. There shouldn't be any marital animosity. Right? So that's why a woman finds something, goes to her husband. Why shouldn't be any marital animosity? Hacha isle eva ve'eva. Well, sorry, there's enough animosity already. In other words, remember, obviously, he divorced her. We just happen to have a technical issue that halacha lemaisa, it's a suffix migresha. So he's still going to have to support her because it's possible they're still married. But obviously, the fact that they're getting divorced, or they're ready to get divorced, means that the eva was there, the animosity was there. So because the animosity was there, there's no need to go ahead and say, you know what, she should really give her found object to her husband in order to stave off any animosity. The animosity is already present, and therefore, if she finds something, halacha lemaisa, she is permitted to keep it. Incredible. Archibos and Mishnah. Masa Shtarichov. It's an interesting case. Let's say I find a loan document. So, we actually alluded to this case a little bit earlier. Masa Shtarichov. Imesh Bahen Achrayis Nechosim Lo Yachzir. So, if the document has an encumbrance, has a lien against real property, don't give it back. Don't give it back. Now, Pashas, don't give it back to either party. Lo yachzer, she bezdin nifroi mehen. Because ultimately, bezdin would collect with such a document. The Gemara says, ein ba necharayis nechasim. However, if the loan document does not have any lien against real property, yachzer, then you could give it back. Now, who you're giving it back to is not immediately clear. Okay, yachzer, shein bezdin nifroi mehen, divrei b'meir. Because bezdin would not collect with it. These doors are meir. So Masa b'meir seems to say like this. You find a loan document, should you return it? It depends. Does it have a lien against real property or not? If it has a lien against real property, then don't return it. I'm sorry. Yes. If it has a lien against real property, then do not return it, because ultimately, again, Bezdin would use it to collect. If it doesn't have a lien against real property, return it, because Bezdin won't use it to collect. That's Rabbi Meir. The Chum say the Chum over Ben Kach or Ben Kach lo yachzer, b'nishe Bezdin nifra'in mehen. So the Chum say, no, either way, you can't return it. You can't return it. We'll say, why can't you return it? We spoke about this case last week, because the concern over here is, how do you know what happened, right? There's two possibilities. Possibility one is that the creditor lost it, and he's still entitled to collect his debt, right? And maybe you're going to give it and again end up giving it back to the debtor, and the debtor is going to get away without ever having to repay the debt. On the other hand, maybe the debtor lost it, and actually he had that document as his receipt of payment. And if you give it back to the creditor, it will give the creditor the ability to erroneously and inappropriately and illegally collect a second time again. Therefore, the Chachamim say, can't give anything back. Let's just do another line. But my askinon. So the Gemara says, what is the case? So we'll say, if it's a case of where the debtor is admitting that the transaction occurred, so I don't understand whether there's a lien against real property, not a lien against real property, who cares? If the debtor is admitting that he owes the money, give back the document to the creditor. Hamoda. And if the borrower, right, if the debtor is not admitting that he owes the money, even if there's no lien against real property, how can you give it back? Because even though without a lien against real property, you can't collect from the chasim mishubadim, from encumbered properties. Ultimately, again, but nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, you could still go out and collect from unencumbered property. And again, that could be an erroneous collection if the debtor is not admitting to it. To which the Gemara says, and the boss will stop. I'm going to leave you on this cliffhanger. We'll stop with this. So now again, it's a machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim. What exactly is the case in the Mishnah? Miras Hashem, we'll be continuing this tomorrow. Sorry, I went a little bit quickly, but a great Zuchos Baruch Hashem to be able to learn with all of you, and wishing everyone a good Chodesh. I should have started with that. Wishing everyone a good Chodesh. And Mishenichnas Adar Marbe Besimcha, Ain't Simcha Ela BaTorah. What an incredible and overwhelming way for us to begin this beautiful month of Simcha together. Shkoyach everyone, and have a wonderful day.